The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. I'm Tony Curry here at the Tony Curry Radio Studios. And, of course, as we do every single week here with Dark Side of the Pooch is Dr. Rab Stewart, as you can look off on the left-hand side here on our YouTube channel. And, of course, wherever you're listening to your favorite podcast, you listen to the shows right here on Tony Curry Radio. He is your folding laundry today. And you are asking if you should not do video today. And, of course, we do video here. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but you're actually helping out your wife, which I think is great. And you're folding some laundry. And so we're going to multitask today.
I'm folding some laundry today. You know, sometimes the wife just needs a break from the laundry.
Yeah.
And, you know, we usually record the show on Mondays. And I'm usually at my office on Mondays. But, you know, when you're the boss, you can block yourself off in your schedule for a little while.
Yeah.
Help your wife out and do some laundry.
That's pretty cool. Let me ask you something, and I'm being sincere in asking this question. What is your job title? Because a lot of guys right now are going, oh, hell no, I don't fold laundry. And there's some guys out there right now watching going, of course, I fold laundry every week. What are some of the jobs you do around the house?
Well, I'm the lawn guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's pretty much a dude job. My wife does a lot, but she's never mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
So anything lawn, raking leaves, mowing grass, trimming hedges. I'm usually the trash man.
Mm-hmm.
He will sometimes take the trash out, but we're kind of trying to transition my son into being the trash man.
Yeah.
You know, she does most of the shopping and, you know, she takes care of the kids' school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time she does the laundry, but I do a lot of folding and putting away, whereas she takes it, she puts it in.
Yeah. Now, do you dry?
Do I dry?
Yeah. And the reason I ask is I dry them because towards the end of my marriage, I was basically doing the washing and the drying. And I would dry, but I wouldn't always get the stuff out of the dryer as soon as it was done. And so it would get wrinkled. And so I was catching hell for having wrinkled laundry. And I'm like, well, at least I'm washing it and drying it. I mean, I'm doing the best I possibly, I knew I was having some issues when a wife complains that you haven't, you know, the laundry's done, but it's wrinkled and she's giving you a hard time for it. So do you dry it?
Oh yeah. You got to get it out right away. You have to put the laundry out right away.
Well, it took me a marriage to figure that out. So there you go.
No, I mean, because if you don't get it out right away, you have to do like a little, you know, a little cycle to get them unwrinkled, like a de-wrinkle cycle.
Because if you don't get them out right away, then they're in the dryer and then they get wrinkled again. And so what I'm saying is if you take them out of the dryer, you have to fold them right away. You can't just take them and put them in a basket because it's basically like leaving them in the dryer.
Yeah, you have to fold them. That's why when we started, I had just gotten them out of the dryer. And so now I have to fold them because if I don't, you know, then you just got to start the process all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys got a really good arrangement going on. And I know you're a wonderfully beautiful married couple. And that's why I was asking that question. This is almost like a marriage counseling show here, but That's really good that you guys, you know your roles, and it's important you know your roles because a lot of times, and I've had this conversation with Dr. Josh a lot of times you'll have a couple and all of a sudden the kids are flying the coop and all of a sudden the woman who's maybe been a stay-at-home mom and it's the hardest job in the world, but she decides she wants to go back to work. And then she starts going back to work and all of a sudden the husband's like, well, wait a minute, who's going to be making dinner or who's going to be doing the laundry? Because we've had our roles now for 16, 17 years, and all of a sudden you're kind of throwing everything off kilter a little bit. And that's when normally you have married couples have issues.
Hey, my wife also works. She works full time. I work full time, except when I'm home folding laundry, the Tony Curry Radio Network. So she works hard, man. She really does. So hopefully she'll come home to some folded laundry and
you're a good dude.
Get it.
You're a good guy. All right, let's get into the show here. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Exotic pets, you name it. Chinchillas, they got bearded dragons. They've got fish. They've got tarantulas, you name it, down there at Ed's Pet World. They've been in business for 50 years. And also, of course, the brand new store down there is just, I mean, it is kicking big time. It's called Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there on Citation Lawn. It's just opened up since October, I guess, this past year. We're talking all kinds of comics, games, and everything else from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Check out Seth Cosby's entire crew. They do a wonderful job there at Sasquatch. So two places to check out, proud sponsors of the wonderful Dark Side of the Pooch. We got some emails here. We haven't done any emails the last few weeks, so we got a bunch of them to get into. You ready?
Before we start, I have to mention, I have to give a huge plug to Ed's Pet World.
Yes.
So my daughter went to a birthday party on Saturday, one of my daughters, and we have two daughters and we have one son. And so one of my daughters had a birthday party later in the day she had to go to. And my youngest one had one kind of mid-afternoon. So I did not go to the one mid-afternoon, but I started getting pictures from the party.
Yeah.
And first it was a party of my daughter petting a lizard.
Uh-huh.
And then a turtle.
Yes.
And then a small snake. And then like a huge boa.
Well. A
boa. And this was something that Ed's Pet World did at this party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brought the reptiles in for the party. So I did not know that they did that.
Oh, yeah. 879-1331. 879-1331. They have a Cayman crocodile that they'll bring in that they've done on our show. We did our show on ABC 3340 a couple weeks ago, our TV show, 10:30 to 11 on Saturday mornings. And we brought Seth in and he brought a bunch of animals in, brought a bearded dragon in. And we had, what is it called? A banana boa? I think it was like a yellow, a yellow thing and some turtles and stuff like that. Yeah. They bring it on. They actually had, we actually had the ball boa and a ferret. I was holding the ferret and then Kip was holding the ball boa and we were concerned about what would happen if those two hooked up. And he said in a fight, which one do you think would win?
Oh, I think the, I guess I'm going to go ferret, even though.
Yeah. You're right. Ferret. The ferret would get it done. So there you go. All right. We have some emails. info@tonycurryradio.net. info@tonycurryradio.net. This is from Lindley in Huntsville. She wants to know, why should I not allow my dog to get pregnant in their first heat?
Oh, you can you can let them get pregnant in their first heat.
Okay, you can. There's no reason not to.
No. It happens all the time.
All right. Would there be a reason why people think you shouldn't?
Well, I think that I've never heard that before. I've never heard that. I've never read that. I wonder if I would love to hear like a follow up email from her, because what we do hear a lot of misconceptions on is we hear people say, well, I don't want to spay my pet until they've had their first heat cycle. And that is incorrect. So I wonder if, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a maybe miscommunication there. So I'd love to know if that were the case or not.
Okay.
It is right now. Can you hear this?
The rain?
It's
coming out here too. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, I keep thinking I have an airplane flying over the house.
Yeah.
It's pretty loud. All right. Bobby wants to know, lately my 6-year-old German Shepherd keeps waking up multiple times a night and I keep letting him out. He said he never wakes up. He usually sleeps a good 6-7 hours, but the last week and a half keeps waking up like every hour on the hour. I let him out. He comes back in, goes right back to bed, and then he wakes back up again an hour. What's going on?
Well, when he lets him out, see, the first thing I would think of is, does he have like a urinary tract infection? He's got to pee a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm assuming that's why the dog's getting up.
Yeah. My question would be, what's the dog doing when he goes outside? Is he just going outside to walk around, or is he going outside to pee? Is he going outside to poop? If he is not going outside to pee and he's not going outside to poop, does he give an age? Does he give an age?
Six. In that?
Six. So, okay. So if he's not experiencing any, like, you know, a lot of frequency with peeing and pooping, it's possible that the dog might be having some dementia, because what they'll do, they will kind of forget what their normal rhythm is. So they might be up at nighttime a lot more than they used to be. That's one of the signs of canine dementia. So I would consider either a urinary tract infection, if he's going outside to pee, especially if he's also peeing in the house, or he has a doggy door, and so the dog's going outside the doggy door all the time. Mm-hmm. So have him checked for that. But also consider dementia. I mean, he's German Shepherd that's 6 years old. You know, he's probably about half, you know, probably halfway done, you know, with his life. So wouldn't be terribly uncommon for that to happen. So consider having him checked for dementia.
How common is dog dementia?
I mean, it's pretty common.
Is it really? Especially more so than humans?
Well, I'm not really sure how common it is in humans, but I mean, I would probably say just, you know, without having a concrete number, you know, 1 out of 4 dogs that we, you know, clinically with my clinical experience, I'd probably say 1 out of 4 dogs, as they get to be geriatric, they start to show some signs of dementia. There are multiple signs, and some dogs may have 1 or 2, and some dogs may have all of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. I had a question about my dog. You know, my dog was, I was having some issues where he was urinating on my chair, on the corner of my chair. And then I realized it really wasn't my chair. It was my blanket. I had a blanket hanging over the side of the chair. And so when I moved the blanket, it seemed like he wasn't peeing so much on it. Anyway, I decided to start putting him up in the bathroom upstairs, and he's been super cool. I just tell him, go to the bathroom. He goes to the bathroom. I don't have to fight with him at all. He whooped me up several times the first couple of weeks we did it. And then he hasn't woken me up. But in the morning now, when I wake him up, I have noticed very slight urinary stains on the floors in the bathroom. Like almost like, not like he peed, but almost like he leaked. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's dry. There's not puddles. And he's a pretty big dog, so when he pees, he pees. Anything to worry about there? Is he just having some incontinence at night, or?
It could be incontinence at night. He's neutered, right? He's not intact.
Uh-huh. No, he's.
It could be incontinence. Incontinence is more common in female dogs. But it can happen in male dogs too, where the sphincter muscle that controls the bladder is just not as tight as it used to be. And so when they are really relaxed, sleeping, I mean, it's really no different than like a kid wetting the bed.
Yeah.
So it can happen. Yeah, sure.
But I guess my question is if in fact he does have a UTI and he can't hold it, there'd be pee all over the floor, right? It wouldn't be just a couple stain spots.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think there would be a lot of pee, and I would also wouldn't just be at nighttime. That's the thing is, especially with puppies, the way that we kind of draw the line on if a puppy is having a urinary tract infection or not, we ask the owner, what about during the daytime? Are they having accidents during the day? Are you having to let them out constantly during the day? And if that answer is no, and they're just going to the bathroom in the kennel at night, maybe 1 to 2 times, it's very unlikely that it's a urinary tract infection, because urinary tract infections, they also are a problem during the day. You know, they're not just a problem at nighttime.
Gotcha. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Send your emails to us. Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossburg Animal Hospital. They do wonderful work. 208-0301. 208-0301. RossburgVet.com. Of course, you can also find them on Facebook, not to mention on the Twitter, now formerly Twitter, now X, at Rossburg Vet. We have somebody here, another Bobby, wants to start crate training his 8-year-old dog. Doesn't mention what the dog is, but mentions the 8-year-old dog. Teaching old dogs new tricks. What's the best way to crate train an 8-year-old dog? I don't know. Maybe he's brought another dog into the family. Maybe he's got a new child, a new addition, something like that. But for whatever reason, he wants to start crate training an 8-year-old dog. Is that difficult?
Well, you just kind of have to do it slowly. Give them just a little bit of time in the kennel. You don't want to just kind of initially give them a little bit of time. You don't just want to say, all right, I'm going to work now. I'm going to put you in here and I'll see you in 10 hours.
Yeah.
They're not used to that. So start off by like short term. I mean, even just like putting them in the kennel and going outside and checking the mail, coming back in, out. Do that for a little while and then build up to, you know, going to the grocery store or something like that until you get to where you have reached the length of time that you want the pet to be in there and he's not freaking out. He's not hurting himself. He's not trying to escape. He's not tearing the kennel up. Because if you just start, okay, I'm going to work, maybe he'll be fine, but odds are he's probably not going to like it. And there's a chance he's going to harm himself, harm the kennel, or be you know, totally ruined for it, and you won't be able to get him in there at all.
Yeah. Or slow. When you say hurt himself, I know nothing wants to feel pain. It doesn't want to hurt itself. I've tried to put Rainer in a kennel a couple times, and he gets out every time. And I'm talking the big metal. I don't know how he does it. I without setting up a camera, I can't figure out how he's getting out of this cage. I'm serious. It's Penn and Teller escapism. It's unbelievable because I mean, I'm trying to pull the door apart and trying to figure, and I can only get it like this far apart. And I'm trying to figure out how in the world he gets out of this giant metal cage. It's an amazing thing. It's worth probably filming. And then he's standing outside the cage and, you know, obviously he wants to come out, but have you seen some pretty good escape artists?
My dog does the same thing.
I mean, I don't know how he's getting out.
So I figured out that mine was weaseling under the door, which seems impossible to do.
Yeah.
But they will get their nose in between the crack of the door and the frame. And mine just kept doing it over and over again until he bent it and he was able to get his whole body through it.
Wow.
And I ended up, he doesn't stay in a kennel anymore. This is when he was a puppy.
Yeah.
I eventually had to get this kennel off of Amazon that, I mean, the bars on it are almost like an inch thick, an inch wide, half an inch thick.
You got your dog on lockdown, dude.
Yeah, on lockdown. And you close it with, you know, little latches and you put carabiners on it. Because first time I figured out if it was just a latch, he figured out how to flip the latch up. And even when I take him, and my dog is, you know, he's a medium sized dog. He can fit comfortably in a kennel. Our kennels can hold up to dogs that are 60 pounds. He's 45. But I can't keep him in that kennel because he knows how to put his nose under it and pop the latch.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he is a Houdini.
Can dogs be claustrophobic?
I mean, I would say they can be claustrophobic. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but I do know that some dogs do not like restraint at all. It's really interesting because some dogs don't mind restraint. They actually feel better when you restrain them. Mm-hmm. That's why they have these, there's certain products that they're wearable, kind of like anti-anxiety devices.
Yeah.
And so for dogs that like to be restrained and like to be held tightly, those really work well. But some dogs can't stand them, and some dogs can't stand to be restrained. So when they come into our office, we have some dogs that have an alert on their file that says less restraint is best. So, I mean, I don't know if they're claustrophobic, but there are tons of dogs that are certainly averse to restraint, and they'll be just fine with someone just kind of petting them on the head and maybe holding a leash. Whereas others, if you try to do that and you try to examine them, they would just run around the room.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the kind that want to be held.
Beth in Birmingham recently has noticed that her dog's stomach is turning purple. And she's freaking out a little bit. She's like, she's never really noticed the dog's stomach area right above his penis area is starting to turn purple. And she was worried. She says he's not acting any different. He seems really, really healthy, but it's turning a hue of purple. What is that?
Well, there's a few things that it can be. And some of them range from no big deal to could be a significant deal. So the first thing I would do is tell her, are there any other purple areas coming up anywhere else in the body? So part the fur, look at the skin, do it all over the body. Mm-hmm. Because worst case scenario, this could be something called ecchymosis, which is sporadic bruising. And that happens if the dog has a clotting disorder. So it's not able to clot its blood well. So it's bruising constantly all the time. We see this with some certain autoimmune diseases. We also see it in dogs that have certain infections, like cat scratch fever will cause ecchymoses. Some tick-borne illnesses will cause ecchymoses. So those are, you know, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, Ehrlichia, Lyme disease. Normally, if they're going to have that, you know, normally if they have ecchymosis, they're also going to be lethargic, you know, maybe not eating well, usually going to have other symptoms. But that's the first thing I would want to rule out, because sometimes that can be maybe not life threatening, but something that definitely needs attention.
Yeah.
They can have dermatitis. you know, just basically chronic skin irritation that can lead to the skin turning a little bit purple. It can also be totally normal and part of the aging process, depending on kind of purple that it is.
Did you get like liver spots?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's why I say it ranges from no big deal to kind of a significant deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a veterinarian could probably narrow it down pretty quickly.
Okay. There he is. Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossburg Animal Hospital's Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Fantastic in service for 50 years. Now they have another store. It's related because the same guy owns both of them. But it's called Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there on Citation Court in Homewood. Check it out. It's fantastic. They have comics and all kinds of unopened toys and Legos and everything from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s and more. It's pretty amazing stuff. Dan wants to know, how do I get my dog to stop ignoring other dogs on walks? It's pretty amazing when you see, you know, I'll go to Spain Park every once in a while and see someone walking their dog, and their dog could give a squat about other dogs. There's other dogs that just can't help themselves. They've got to go and sniff everything. Is there a method to that madness?
I mean, I don't know that I would push it, to be honest. You know, just like people that are, you know, maybe kind of antisocial, the last thing you want to do is put them in a social situation.
Sure.
So I would think that this would actually be a much better problem to have than a dog that hates other dogs. And every time you take them on a walk, they try to get in a fight with a dog. So if you really wanted to try it, you could get a dog that belongs to a friend and, you know, is super friendly and do that. You know, and maybe he's already doing that. You know, maybe the owner's fine. Maybe the dog's fine with dogs that it knows, but it's just stranger dogs that it doesn't. But that's what I would say initially. Is try to get a friend that has a dog that you know is a kind of a laid back dog and get them together and see what happens.
All right, we've got a ton of emails. You and I have just kind of, if you go back and listen to some of our great shows, so the last two or three shows have been great because we just sit here and we just talk. And they're fantastic. And of course, Dark Side of the Pooch, available wherever you get your favorite podcast, even on Spotify, we're everywhere. Dark Side of the Pooch, you pull it up and you can watch all of our previous shows. They're really, really good. Individual has a dog who's itching its skin a lot but has no fleas. What is that itch?
Probably a skin allergy to something.
Good.
Either something in the environment, so something in the house. And I'm talking like dust mites, storage mites. And those are mites that are in every house, no matter how clean your house is. They're everywhere. So we see a lot of allergy to dust mites and storage mites. We see a lot of allergies to things outside, grasses, weeds, trees. And then we see allergies to food ingredients. So best way to try to figure out what it is, if it is year round, then there is going to be some type of food component to it. If it is year round, but gets worse seasonally, then you probably have a food component, but you also have a seasonal component. If it is just seasonal, then you probably don't have to worry so much about the dust mites and the storage mites because they're being exposed to that constantly. Mm-hmm. And you also don't have food. It's going to be all outside stuff. So seasonal and food allergies are hard to nail down. You kind of just have to make the diagnosis on assumption. So, for example, if steroids help, either steroid injection or oral steroids, then probably dealing with an allergy. If steroids don't help at all, then could be something else.
Oh, all right. Dark Side of the Pooch, final question here. Eddie wants to know, is it okay to use dog shampoo on cats?
No, they'll turn into dogs.
Yeah, it's a good question. You'd have to think. I've actually used dog shampoo in my shower. Just because it was the last thing I had and it smelled really good. It's a lavender thing, and dog shampoo on humans actually works. I was afraid it was going to make me kind of dry. It actually worked because I didn't want to use bar soap. I wouldn't do it normally, regularly, but I tried it a couple of times and it smells really, really good. But dog shampoo on cats, that work? No?
Fine. It's totally fine.
Now, there's been several articles and I pulled up that says it's dangerous to do that. Why would it be dangerous?
Well, I guess it would depend on the ingredients.
Yeah.
But for example, oh, my son just got home. It's even more interesting now.
There you go. Good.
So no, but unless it has a certain ingredient in it that's also a flea preventative, then absolutely it can be dangerous.
Okay.
So if it's a product that kills fleas, then yeah, it can be a problem.
Okay.
So be sure that you're just using regular shampoo, then you should be fine.
I've got to ask the question. How many people shampoo their cats. I've never heard that.
It takes a brave person to do that.
I've never heard of anyone washing their cat before. I haven't. That's one of the reasons. Don't they clean themselves? Aren't they self-cleaning?
We do baths on cats from time to time.
Do you?
Yeah.
Does it make them smell better and make them more attractive? Do they like it? They don't know?
They don't necessarily like it.
Do they get the cats crazies?
No, you know, I don't. They just try to. A good cat will be fine, but a bad cat will definitely try to kill you.
Yeah, I can understand it. All right, tell people how they can find you, my friend.
You can reach us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
How many loads we get done today?
We got a single load done. Single load. Family is here. I'm going back to work now, and we'll do more later.
So one load of laundry. You got one load of laundry done for one podcast. We got to do a longer podcast.
I got to do more podcasts.
We got to do much more podcasts. All right, let me know if you want to do another load tomorrow.
All right, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
See ya.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.